Blake's principle is called connecting with unconditional love. The emphasis on this principle is that the glue that holds the universe together is something called love, something called harmony, something called peace, and that it asks nothing in return. It is the very glue itself that keeps everything from falling apart and disintegrating. And so if you are going to become a manifester, you have to be willing to exhibit and accept what shows up into your life with unconditional love and to send that unconditional love out as well. And here are some of the things that are really useful, I think, on a daily basis to make this the way of your being. Remind yourself that love transforms, that unconditional love is healing, that it heals the body and it heals the mind. And if you have this kind of approach to your life and don't put conditions on it, then you'll find yourself feeling much more peaceful, and you'll sleep better, and you'll enjoy your friends and neighbors more, and your prosperity will increase, because unconditional love is the same as having peace within yourself. Remember, the opposite of love is really fear. Every time you experience fear, ask yourself, what's going on that I've substituted fear here for love in this moment? And the fear that we have that we're not complete or that we're alone, which is the number one fear that all human beings seem to suffer from, is that the fear of being alone. Once you've transcended that fear of being alone, you begin to recognize you're never alone. You always have divine guidance. You're always connected to this divine principle that is universal. That means it's everywhere, which means there's no place that it's not, which means, of course, that it's within you. So you substitute that fear when you accept unconditional love into your life. It goes away. And also remember that love is experienced in your thoughts and in your acts of oneness, so that when you are feeling down in your life and when things don't seem to be working or you're experiencing stress in your life, look at the thoughts that you have, the thoughts that tell yourself that I'm not living in an unconditionally loving way. As always, in all of these principles, I would recommend that you acquire a private and a non-publicized, if you will, a regular habit of meditating and going within, particularly as I talk about it in the last sessions on this program. I would also pick one day to practice this exercise with a partner of your choice. Well, oftentimes my wife and I will just go into a room and we will meditate together. And just the energy of the two of us sitting right next to each other or across from each other sort of reinforces our relationship and gives us more unconditional love towards each other. In your silent moments of prayer, I would recommend that you're not afraid to ask for help, because what you're asking for is a more direct communication and dialogue with God, which is, of course, a part of what you are already in the first place, so that God is not this giant vending machine in the sky who's dispensing goodies to you, but God is a part of you that you are in dialogue with, and you ask for that, and you'll find yourself achieving it. I'd also recommend that you practice a 2 or 3 day regimen of just having unconditionally loving thoughts and nothing else towards one particular person in your life, whoever that might be, maybe one of your children or your in-laws or your spouse or maybe someone you're struggling with or having a difficult time in communicating. And just practice, say, for this day and this day only, I am going to practice everything, no matter what they say or how they say it, I'm just going to respond internally with unconditional love. I'm not going to allow any negativity there. And watch how that relationship changes. The seventh principle of spiritual manifesting is called detaching from the outcome. And detaching from the outcome means that you get your life on purpose and you're not so concerned with how things are going to work out, but you're in process, and that's all that matters in the infinite now. And this really is about the power of infinite patience. You don't push and demand and expect the universal intelligence to do things on your time schedule the way that you would like them. In fact, the vehicles that are used to bring about your manifestations are created by and decided by God. And it is not up to you to decide what vehicles, but to just know that they're on their way and they're arriving. And here's a step-by-step kind of mini program for practicing infinite patience in your life. First is to understand the essence of what you desire. You don't generally desire what you think you desire. Generally, what you desire is not money, but more security. Generally, what you desire is not to be to rid of your addictions, but to be healthy, to be non-toxic. generally what you desire has to do with some deeper essence that has to do with your well-being and feeling more peaceful. And that's what you want to put your attention on, rather than on the picky little details that will get handled by the universe. And then secondly, banish all of the doubt and enter into the realm of certainty. There is no doubt when you have certainty. There is infinite patience when you are certain of the outcome. So being certain of the outcome is just a knowing. I know it will arrive. I trust in this divine intelligence that is a part of me and in all things. I trust it, I'm aware of it, and I'm patient. I have all the time in the world, as my friend Stuart Wilde says. The third thing to do then is to leave your expectations and go about your business. Stop contaminating your manifestations with your expectations and just go about your business. And then fourthly, maintain privacy, always privacy about your desires. This is between you and your higher self. And then fifthly, be aware of any cues that you desire that are beginning to manifest. Just be aware that these things are starting to show up. And then next, I would act immediately on those cues that arrive by acknowledging them and being grateful for them and thanking them. And then I would not think of my manifestation as a special favor. There are no special favors. The divine intelligence is in everyone and everything. It doesn't pick favorites. If it did, then it wouldn't be universal. It would be saying, okay, I'll give it to you, but not to someone else. And the someone else that doesn't have it would be a place that the universal intelligence is not located. And by virtue of the fact that it is universal, it is everywhere. So it is impossible for it to have favors. It's impossible for it to be everywhere and someplace that it is not. And don't think of it as a favor to you. It is just your tuning in to the higher places within yourself and the higher places in the universe. And then next, I would view any and all of the obstacles that come up in your life that are not showing up in your manifestations simply as lessons, not indications of failure, just simply lessons. Remember, you can't really and truly fail at anything. If you put a golf ball up on a tee and swing at it and it dribbles off to the side, you haven't failed. You've just produced a result. And the result that you've produced is what you want to act upon rather than labeling yourself as a failure. And then next, I would release all judgment from my meditation practice. I would work at not just my meditation practice, but in all of my life. I can be patient when I don't judge, when I don't say, you ought to be the way I think you ought to be, and I'm not going to enjoy myself until you are. That isn't patience. You see, the reason you want to be patient is because patience shows an affirmation in trusting in this divine intelligence and in yourself. And impatience shows that you are separated and disconnected from that intelligence. And then I would learn to relax in peace and have a knowing. And I'd avoid the process of rushing and pushing through my life. You relax in peace and you just turn your thoughts to the affairs of your daily life. And then finally, I would use as many affirmations as I can write or come up with to keep that energy flowing and detaching myself from the outcome. This is the way you put infinite patience and detaching yourself from the outcome to work in your life. The eighth principle is called cultivating an attitude of gratitude and generosity. And essentially what this is saying is that if you are not grateful for that which shows up in your life, you will block its entrance into your life. And if you're not generous with what does show up in your life, you will also block it. And so the ways to create this attitude of gratitude and this attitude of generosity are to begin a practice, a daily practice, of being grateful for all that shows up for yourself. That's the first thing. Just keep in mind how lucky you are to have anything that you might have. So the first thing that you do is develop an awareness of yourself as a recipient rather than a victim. You are a receiver, and you are in the act of having more show up in your life, and you are claiming that for yourself, not because you're selfish, but because you are entitled to the abundance of the universe, since you are the universe. And then secondly, I would practice a silent expression of gratitude whenever you start to see your desires manifesting from the universal source. Just tiny little indications inwardly that you are grateful. Thank you for allowing this to show up. Whenever a little coin shows up, just picking it up and putting it in your pocket and saying thank you. It's a symbol of all of the abundance that has shown up in my life. Then I would recommend that you daily become a person who's willing to tell those around you how much you appreciate them. Just simple little things like holding your spouse, not for just a little kiss, good morning or good night, but just maybe an extra 15 seconds of a squeeze and just, gee, it's really nice to have you in my life. I'm really grateful that you and I are married. I'm grateful that you're my lover. Or to your children, You know, I really am fortunate and blessed to be your father, or to have you in my life, or even the sales lady, or even the waitress, or even the flight attendant. Thank you. I really appreciate your consideration in bringing me the fork I ask for, or putting the glass of water in front of me, whatever, just little indicators of your appreciation. And then I'd be very thankful and avoid complaining as much as possible. Don't complain, don't explain. A good rule to keep uppermost in your mind. One of the things I do each day is I begin the day with an expression of gratitude and thanksgiving. Just a simple little statement. There are some people who get up every morning and say, "Good God, morning." And there are others who get up and say, "Good morning, God." I'm one of the people who's in the latter group. I say, "Good morning, God," not "Good God, morning." And I'm grateful every morning that I wake up, that I got another 24 hours, that I got through the night, that I had a good night's sleep, that I have a bed to sleep in, that I have a family, that I have my health, that I have whatever it is. And I'm thankful for that. And expressing it, just not in a phony way, but even if it's done privately, it gives you that attitude of gratitude that allows the flow of energy to come into your life. Also, it's important to be grateful for all that you don't have, and for the struggles, and for the opportunity to transcend some of the things that you have perceived to be limitations, to transcend some of your addictions and some of your behaviors that aren't as harmonious and loving as you'd like them to be. Without those, you couldn't get to a higher place. And keep in mind always, as you're working on this attitude of gratitude, that the nature of thought is to increase, because the nature of everything in the universe is to increase, and the universe is made up of this energy, the same energy that allows you to think. So if the universe is expanding, and it's made up of what's in you, then your thoughts are also expanding. And if your thoughts are on things like, "I don't feel very good," or "I'm not happy," or negativity in any way, then that will be the thing that continues to expand. On the other hand, if your thoughts are on how grateful you are, then that will continue to expand. And of course, as you become more grateful, you are feeling more connected rather than separated from that which is your source. It's also important to practice generosity in your life as a part of this principle. And that one of the things to do is to recognize that this is a way of being that definitely can be developed. You can, in fact, practice being generous. And generosity is a way of showing that you have trust in this divine intelligence. And stinginess and hoarding are a way of you saying, "I don't think there's enough. I better hang on to it." And it's a disbelief in the abundance of the universe and more of a recognition of scarcity. And when you have a scarcity consciousness, it is scarcity that shows up in your life. And when you have an abundance consciousness, it is abundance which shows up in your life. Think of the things that other people do for you every day. Think of the things that you couldn't do without the help of other people. You couldn't even be listening to this tape because you need somebody to manufacture it. You need someone to distribute it. You need someone to sell it. You need someone to do all of the hundreds and thousands of things that have to be done to mine the materials that it is made out of, to put the screws in that hold it together, to get the machine for you that is able to play it, to put the buttons in the machine that pushes it, to rewind it, and endlessly to put the paint on it. It's just thousands and thousands of folks, all of whom we are dependent upon. And become aware of the internal resistances that arise within you when you have an impulse to give. Remember that you're one human being connecting to another in a spirit of love and kindness and generosity. And this idea that, "Oh, I better not tip too much," or "I better be very careful about how much I give because then they'll expect more." The more of this that you give away, the more that shows up in your life that you allow to flow through you, the more you encourage that which you would like to have manifested to show up for you in your life. It's one of the laws of the universe. It's simply stated as what goes around comes around. And as if you allow it to come around, it will continue to go around. If you stop it with your stinginess and your hoarding, then you stop the flow. And also it's important to practice being able to receive, just like it is to be able to give. Just listen to this. One breath in, I receive. I can't keep that breath. I have to give it back. Every breath you take is a giving and a receiving. It's the same way with the food that you eat. It's the same way with everything that we have in our life. We have a food chain that is natural to the survival of everything on the planet. There is a giving and there is a giving back. And all that we give back, we give it back in the form of fertilizers. We give it back in the form of our own bodies, which ultimately becomes tomorrow's food. Everything on the planet, in this moment, as Ken Wilber says, is tomorrow's food. Giving and receiving. And the fact is, if you don't know how to receive, if it's difficult for you to accept from others, then you are blocking it just as much as your unwillingness to give. Giving, receiving. Receiving, giving. It's the way of the universe. Catch yourself at the specific moments of your scarcity consciousness and use this moment to work on your new generosity. You know, you're just about to put down a tip and you're debating between giving $3 and $4. And you say, oh, I don't know, $4 seems a bit too much. That makes it 18% and I'm only supposed to give 15% or whatever your consciousness has told you, that tribal stuff that you've bought into. Give the $4. I remember I always was a teacher in the school who, if a student if 92 was an A, they would write these rules down, and a student would come to me and say, I've got 91.4, and I can't, what am I going to do? I'd say, you're going to get an A. That's close enough. And I can remember seeing teachers and working with teachers who would say, nope, if it's 91.999, that's a B, and an A is, and those are the rules, and that's the way it has to be. That shows sort of an absence of generosity. It's close enough, was always my motto. And if someone is really determined, even if they had an 89 and came to me, I'd say, well, maybe if you wrote this paper or you showed that you really knew, why not? If it's that important to you and you don't make such a big deal about it. And also, I practice always just giving a little bit more than I think I can afford, just a little bit more, rather than hanging on to it and telling myself that I can't do it. And the more of this that you practice, the more frequently you will find yourself getting back in tenfold what it is that you gave away.